This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
You've got to pay the man.
Who's David Lindley?
He's a reggae kind of musician.
I would have gone with Teddy KGB. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Pay the man.
Yeah, but Teddy KGB
Everybody's
is iconic.
Everybody's got to pay the man. Before you leave this world, you got to pay the man.
On 1340 WKG.
Like I said about Jerry, Jerry's getting old. Before you leave this world, you got to pay the man.
Before you leave this world, you got to pay the man.
Who sings that?
David Lindley.
Let's keep it that way.
How creative.
Got him!
How creative.
Got him!
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Hour three kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour three headlines. What do you got for us, Cam?
All right. Trey Hendrickson of the Cincinnati Bengals, their leading sack guy, has been cleared to play this weekend for the Bengals, coming off his concussion from this past Super Wild Card weekend. He is considered good to go. He's been practicing, and yeah, he's been the full participant today, and he is cleared. So he will be on the field for the Bengals against you guys' Tennessee Titans. Any concerns there?
Give it to me one more time, Cam. Sorry, I was reading about this. Vote.
Trey Hendrickson is back.
Any concerns for the Titans. I got concerns for Trey Hendrickson. The hell do you have a concussion on Saturday and you're already back full practice on Wednesday? His brain's going to turn to goo.
Different.
It's going to be pudding by the time he's finished. Like, do we not care about head injuries anymore? The thing is, like, you knew it was coming. Like, every year, like in the postseason, concussions matter less than they do in the regular season. Like, if you need further proof, close your ears, Cam. Go watch that. Actually, that wasn't the game, was it? No. Open yours. That wasn't the game, right? It was the Seattle game where Julian Edelman got that concussion in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, came back and finished it and, like, caught, like, another 40 yards for Tom Brady, like, on the drive they went ahead on. Like,
yeah.
Edelman just had that diving catch against you. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But Julian Edelman clearly had a concussion against Seattle. And they're like, it's a Super Bowl. He can play. And he came out there and was balling out. And if I was Seattle, I'm like, wait a second. No. Look at his eyes. They're dilated.
Hey, as all good football coaches will tell you, John, concussions aren't real.
Not in the playoffs or not. So I had no doubt that Trey Hendrickson was going to play. I imagine Nick Bosa will as well. He's dealing, with a concussion coming out of the Cowboys game. I imagine he's going to play as well. But,
there's no injuries. There's no COVID in the playoffs.
It's not true. The Titans had one guy they've had to put on the list.
Greg Maven.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What's he doing? Come on. You think, is Trey H, do you know, does he normally line up more predominantly on the right tackle or left tackle?
I don't know either.
I'm not
sure either off the top of my head.
I feel like defensive ends move around.
Yeah, I think kind of matchup and scheme.
It did feel better when like all of the Bengals' defensive linemen were hurt, but like I don't have a problem with Hendrickson playing other than like his brain might turn to putty.
Is he the best pass rusher in this game?
No. Trey Hendrickson? Better than... I don't know. Maybe as a single. I don't look at pass rushers for my Titans in an individual light, Charlie.
They're a group.
I look at them as a group, and I don't know if you saw, but the Titans have the only trio of players, Cam, with eight sacks or more. Mm. No other team in the league has three guys with eight sacks or more.
Bud Dupree
with eight sacks?
Yeah.
How many is that, 24 whole sacks?
Well, no, it's not just the whole team sacks. I'm saying that's
I know, I'm saying
guys.
That's a lot. That's more than the Falcons have as a team.
That's also more than we had last year. We only had like 18 all together last year. But
same this year.
Now, the Titans defensive line, it's so cliche to be like, well, that's the key in the playoffs, handle the trenches. But the Titans have blitzed only 18% of the time this season, Cam. That's second least in the NFL. They've gotten 35 sacks, the second most, using only four-man pressure. If you can do that, yep, you can affect Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's QBR drops by over 34 points when not blitzed. Like, when if you can just get pressure and, like, guard seven guys, it is a much easier situation. So the Titans have a defense that can win the Super Bowl. They have pressured good quarterbacks all year. Trey Henderson might be the best solo guy, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's not like it means a whole lot necessarily of who's the best pass rusher, sure, because the Titans clearly have the best pass rush. I was just I was thinking about that myself. I was like, I wonder if Trey Hendrickson is better than Simmons or Landry.
I mean, I don't know. Landry was Holly Ray at the beginning of the year and then kind of fell off a little bit. Like, Dupree's a good pass rusher. I mean, Hendrickson's really good, but again, I don't feel like he has a sidekick there where we have, you know, four guys on that defensive line that can get after you. God, I'm ready for Saturday.
Hey, Roberson's healthy too. Denier, they can both provide depth pass rush.
Updating the story we just had at the end of the last hour with baseball, but apparently the Las Vegas' chances to land the Oakland A's took a big hit as the A's are moving closer to a possible new stadium, new ballpark with their key vote. So maybe the A's will get finally an upgraded venue because, God, that place is dumb.
They need one.
And Oakland's probably like, we can't lose them after we've lost the Raiders and the Warriors.
It would be so sad if they lost the A's.
I feel like if I'm Oakland, I'm like, we already lost, like I said, the Warriors and the Raiders.
So
might as well let the A's go, too. I mean, that's probably the least favorite of the three.
Fair enough.
The least favorite of the three, but still huge.
I guess, like, it does seem like a badge of honor, a badge of pride that you, as a city, like, it probably feels cool to at least have one professional team in it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In state, like, I mean, the Grizzlies probably take a lot of pride from having, or Memphis probably takes a lot of pride from having the Grizzlies. Like, if you took the Grizzlies out of Memphis, like, they're all of a sudden not a professional city anymore. It seems like a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, for Oakland, if they lost, like, they wouldn't be a professional city anymore. It seems like a big deal. I don't know. Next headline?
Russell Westbrook was benched last night for the final stretch of the Lakers. I think they lost to the Pacers. What did they say here? Yeah. Pacers. Oh, this is tripping out. They lost to the Pacers last night. Basically, Vogel said he had been given the green light by the organization to basically coach Russell as he sees fit, including benching him, and he benched him down the stretch as Russell Westbrook was struggling at 5-for-17 from the field. Westbrook has been what he is. He was also playing poor defense for the Pacers. LeVert was giving him fits a little bit. Is this a concern for the Lakers moving forward with Russell Westbrook? Just,
I don't know what the concerns would be. It's just whether or not, like, the concern to me is Frank Vogel. Like, Frank Vogel is getting ready to get scapegoated. They're getting ready to fire Frank Vogel. It seems like he's at, like, the end of his rope. And he's just like, what can I do here? Okay, well, I'm not going to play Russell Westbrook because he doesn't give us the best chance to win late in games because he gives us no floor spacing and just is erratic with the ball. You ask, well, like, what the issue is going to be. Like, there's nothing they can do. They can't trade him.
Yeah,
and I gotta give props where it's due. Like, man, like, I kind of clowned and laughed at, like, the people who, like, talked about his potential. But I do feel like the Lakers probably have to be looking at Washington right now and being like, man, maybe we should have kept Kyle Kuzma.
I mean, honestly, yeah, Kuzma's been good for them.
Kyle Kuzma's been really good for them. And, you know, I wonder if they're like, man, you know, he's also $18 million. He's, like, also, like, you know, almost $25 million cheaper than Russell Westbrook as well.
That's the biggest part.
It gives us some flexibility,
Worst case, you just get somebody that also misses shots, so.
Yeah.
I feel like.
But at least he's not going to, like, turn the ball over while he's dribbling and take a bunch of shots.
Yep, exactly. So sounds like a win.
Lakers are in trouble. Lakers are in trouble, and I don't know how they get out of it. Like, it feels like they only have one move, and it's a move they'll never make. But it feels like the only move they have is to trade Anthony Davis. And they don't. And they're not going to do it. But, like, if you're trying to maximize the last, like, because, like, it does seem like LeBron's still at a championship level. The sad thing is, like, Anthony Davis isn't. If I was a Lakers fan or if I was Jeannie Buss, like, I'd have questions about Anthony Davis being the best player on my team after LeBron retires.
Honestly,
like, I'd rather roll the dice in a couple years of having no money on my books and just try to build a new team.
Yeah, because I don't think you're going to win with just Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis ain't that guy, pal.
Yeah.
He ain't that guy.
Money on the books, too. You're still LA. You can just say, hey, we're the Lakers.
Right.
Come build your new team here.
That seems like the only thing they could do, and they're not going to do it. So, like, it just seems like the Lakers, you know, going to max out winning maybe one round in the playoffs if they're lucky. Unless LeBron just goes complete, you know, Super Saiyan. After 25 years, Cam.
Yes.
A popular sitcom, King of the Hill, is set to be revived.
Really?
That's what we talked about, Charlie, how everything just gets brought back. King of the Hill, set to make a comeback 25 years after Fox launched the original animated sitcom.
How long has it been off air?
I didn't even know it was off air or on air, honestly.
You've never heard of King of the Hill?
No, I mean, I know King of the Hill, and I know that Josh Heupel looks like old Bobby.
Yeah, but you didn't know, like, it's...
I didn't know that if it was off air, on air.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I feel like it's been off air for what? I mean...
Never seen it.
I feel like at least, like, 13 years
by
now.
Pocket sand joke. Seen that meme.
When did it end? 2010.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, 12 years.
Wow.
I didn't realize it went away 2010, really. I used to love it, like, in, like, the first, like, 4 or 5 years. It's when I want to go back and, like, kind of rewatch, but it's just so many damn episodes. But the trend continues with the reboots.
That's what they do nowadays.
Should I watch King of the Hill? Is it worth it? Good?
Yeah, I think so.
I've heard decent things. I haven't watched a ton of it. I've seen a few episodes, I think. Seems pretty solid.
All right, go back to headlines. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's take a look around the SEC. Stetson Bennett.
Ah, yes, the speaking savior.
Speaking of NIL, although I guess what the hell is he going to do? Is he going to go to the NFL?
Nope.
Although he said he thinks he's the best quarterback in the country.
I bet he does.
He's a national champion. I wonder how much money he's going to be making next year.
Anything anybody in Athens will pay him anything he wants.
You would think
they'll
so.
Just give him money. He's going to just walk by people on the street, and they're just going to hand him their wallet.
So he's going back to Georgia. Charlie, how does that make you feel?
I mean, I guess the car dealership can wait another year for Stetson.
He's going to own a car dealership.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe with his NIL money, he'll be able to.
Absolutely. He's already
maybe he can just do both at once.
He's going to own a Chick-fil-A.
Honestly, I'd rather take my chances with the devil you know and Stetson Bennett.
Okay.
Than
the guy
somebody
just
else.
Won a national championship?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, he deserves some level of respect for winning a national championship, but I think we can all agree that he is not what elevated them to a national championship. He was just the decision maker along for the ride that did a good enough job
for sure.
Not to lose them a national championship. So him coming back does not really like strike fear into me, nor does it cause any kind of stress, anxiety, or ill feelings. It's just like, oh, okay, we're going to see him again.
So
it's the defense that I don't want to see again.
So the news of Stetson Bennett returning to Georgia makes you think they're more likely, less likely, same amount likely to repeat. You say?
Same amount.
Cam?
Yeah, I'd say same amount because you'd think you'd at least get the same level of quarterback play. And, you know, if their defense is – it doesn't have to be as good as last year's, but if it's similar to last year's, you should have the same level of success.
I almost feel like they're more likely to repeat with him coming back.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He does have the experience now. And I feel
he's
going
to have confidence. And, like, to me, the biggest hope for Georgia was that, like, they ended up with someone like a JT Daniels or a Jamie Newman
that they
thought was going to be good. Because, I mean, like, they've mismanaged their quarterback situation pretty much the entire time Kirby's been there. And they almost, like, catastrophically messed it up 2 years ago. Right, when they brought in Jamie Newman.
Yeah, if Jamie Newman would have been their starting quarterback.
And he can't play football.
Yeah.
And then, like, their next hope was, like, okay, we'll bring in JT Daniels. And they're looking at these, like, five-star quarterbacks or these – I know Jamie Newman wasn't a five-star quarterback at Wake. But, like, these quarterbacks that maybe look the part or, like, you know, have some stats or whatever and, like, hoping that they could come there. And quite frankly, like, we didn't see anything from Jamie Newman at Wake Forest. We didn't see anything from JT Daniels at USC. They got bailed out. Their program was saved by Stetson Bennett.
Honestly.
If Stetson Bennett wasn't on that roster, they would have not won the national championship this year, and they probably would have lost. I mean, how many games did they lose last year? I guess they already lost a couple last year, right, because Florida beat
them.
Two at least.
Alabama, Florida, and then they beat Cincinnati.
Okay.
Or I guess they lost to Alabama No, just once in the SEC championship. Right. Yeah,
because Georgia or because Florida won it. Like they wouldn't have. I mean, I guess they weren't very good the year before, but they wouldn't have won the national championship this year if Stetson Bennett on the roster. Like JT Daniels was not would not have won them a title. I don't think.
Called Stetson. You don't think JT would
have? I just think he would have turned the ball over. Like the one game we saw him play, like he wasn't good at all. Like every time he was in for Georgia, like he just wasn't good. Maybe I'm wrong, but like I think Stetson had like moxie, man. Like I think he had
leadership.
He had leadership.
Like, they rallied behind him, and
right,
you know, he was better probably than people give him credit for. He did also just didn't ever play with pressure for until the last two games.
Right, but then when he had pressure, the moment he had pressure against Alabama, he came out and led.
He went like
three straight touchdown drives.
He went like 1-1 in games that he had any kind of pressure in.
Yeah, which I mean. I don't even know how much pressure he had in the SEC championship because they lost and they still won the national title. Like that game,
and
was
it
awesome.
Was on the defense just giving up a ton of points.
Right, that was them not being able to
stop. I just mean like the team having to rely on him to score points.
Because
their defense.
Right,
isn't
I know,
just
but like,
winning.
Like in the SEC championship, like I guess they could have knocked out Alabama, but ultimately the game didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee
yeah,
you.
Regardless,
obviously, everyone in Georgia would be like, "Yeah, we'd rather have lost that game and won the national title." Like everyone would say that. So. Mm-hmm. The moment in the game where they fell behind and he had to make plays, he actually made some plays, and he did that a couple times this year. And I don't know. I feel like our best chance for Georgia to come back to earth a little bit would have been like to get a dud quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I
agree.
And I don't think Stetson's a dud. Now, on the flip side, if they go out and get a stud quarterback, if they'd have gotten a Caleb Williams or someone else that was like a monster, then that's worst-case scenario. So, like, I would rather have Stetson Bennett there than, like you said, the devil you don't know that might end up being a really good player.
I guess the biggest thing for me is just, like, I don't look at Stetson Bennett and say him being there, him not being there, him coming back, whatever happens at quarterback is what, you know, well then their title defense chances hinge on. It's how well do they rebuild the defense? How do you replace, what, 5-6 starters that are now ahead of the NFL, 7?
Yeah, maybe the defense.
Like,
won't.
If you replace them and they get back to the same level, then sure, you can win a national championship with Stetson Bennett. If they regress back to a good but not elite defense, then you're not going to win a national championship with Stetson Bennett.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think maybe that's it. Maybe the defense is going to slip a little bit just because they have to. I mean, they can't be the best defense every year,
surely.
Like in terms of like college history or like recent college history. So maybe the defense slips a little bit and Stetson won't be able to elevate his play. Maybe. I guess that's best case scenario. I still don't think Stetson's good.
I don't either.
But I do think he's clutch.
I think he's enough for what they need.
Maybe not. Maybe that, like I said, maybe that defense will not be godly and just be really, really great next year.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be a couple of games where they actually have to make a play. What is their schedule even like this upcoming year?
Open with Oregon.
Okay. That's weird. So they're going to be playing their former defense coordinator immediately?
Yep. In Atlanta, I think.
Although that's nothing compared to playing Clemson, I guess.
Yeah. I'm trying to go to that game.
Who is their other West opponent? Do we know?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Let's see. Auburn, of course, as always, October 8th, and Mississippi State. Damn it.
Jeez.
So a trip to Starkville.
Hey, those cowbells.
Oh, no.
So, I mean,
you get them Starkvillians full of some Bulldog burger and
Bulldog versus Bulldog.
Some cheap drinks from the fountain.
That seems like a really, really bad opening game for Dan Lanning in Oregon. A home game in Mercedes-Benz Stadium to celebrate a national champion.
Can't be good.
That seems like an opening night. Like that seems usually like what they do in the NFL, right? On opening nights.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl champion gets the home game, like, and then he gets to baptize some team on national TV.
Mercedes-Benz, just
right. It's gonna just be all Georgia fans right there to celebrate.
I'll be there in Oregon stuff if I can find Oregon stuff.
Don't go, Cam. They're gonna beat their ass. Oregon's gonna get destroyed.
I just want to go. I think that'd be a cool non-conference game to see.
You paint Dan on your chest, I'll paint Lanning on mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Might have to like stab the LAN on top of the rest.
We'll make it work.
Lanning for sure, so.
We'll make it work.
Anyone, any other news in college sports, Charlie, anything college basketball related we need to know from last night or look ahead to this night?
You didn't really get I guess you had some big SEC games last night. Obviously, you had Kentucky erase a deficit on the road and a pretty resilient, impressive victory with their point guard in foul trouble in Ty Washington.
Right.
You had Florida and Mississippi State both looking on like the next four, last four in, next or first four out range, playing a little bubble battle. Florida, a nice win there, and then you know Auburn dismantled Georgia, and LSU and Alabama played a really good game. You already got Auburn students camping out for their game against Kentucky this Saturday.
So yeah, it's going to be a good atmosphere, like you said. Neat. Georgia, man, 5-13, 0-5 in SEC. Mm-hmm.
They lost 8 players from last year's roster. I don't know how Tom Crean survives.
He won't. He won't.
I mean, he doesn't.
I guess you give Georgia some credit for trying to hire him, although like it feels like he was a guy that you kind of knew was had ran its course.
I didn't think it was a – yeah, at the time I thought it was like a decent move. You know, not a great one, obviously, but like a fun idea. Obviously, it didn't work. You got some good games this weekend, too. LSU, Tennessee, and Kentucky, Auburn, obviously. But you got the basketball version of the Egg Bowl, too. A&M, Arkansas should be pretty fun. And Missouri – Alabama rematch, and Alabama trying to get revenge. As for tonight, not a whole lot going on. Purdue, Indiana. Purdue with 3.5-point favorite on the road. Indiana's been
so is Indiana good this year?
They've been up and down. I mean, they have Trace Jackson Davis, who is probably one of the best players in the country, and he has masked a lot of their flaws. He's carried them even to just 13-4 at this point. So that could be a fun game. You'll have superstars going at it with Ivy and with everything that Purdue has versus Trace Jackson Davis. The late game, San Francisco and Gonzaga.
Okay, we're not. That's where I cut you off. I'm not listening to San Francisco Gonzaga.
Just give me like
USC Colorado.
Give me 15
decent.
More seconds. Should be a fun game. San Francisco's gotten better each year over the last decade, and the WCC has gotten a lot better. They usually play really fun games. Those two schools do.
We got 3:11 p.m. games tonight.
11 p.m.
Yeah,
what the hell is college basketball doing? Every now and then I see like these midday games. I saw another one the other day. It was on like at 4 p.m.
I mean, Florida State's
Baylor
playing
and,
right now.
Baylor and West Virginia played at like 5 p.m. the other day.
Who's playing right now?
Florida State's playing right now. Or
what
at least
the hell is going on?
They're playing earlier. I don't know if the game's over yet.
Is this their way of
they
trying to
they already
like,
beat North Florida, and they barely beat North Florida. Actually, no, 86-73.
Is this their way of trying to like limit COVID interaction? Like, hey, if we have it in the middle of the day, maybe less fans come? Like, what the hell is going on here?
Gambling. Maybe has an impact. The St. Peter's Canisius game that was played on Tuesday afternoon at like 1 p.m.
Yeah.
Was had more than double the bets placed between a top 15 matchup of Baylor and Texas Tech. Like the
I mean,
before.
Yeah. I mean, if you're desperate for betting on stuff and there's no NBA or no football going on. No, I mean, I'd say that there probably is a ratings boost. I mean, there is an appetite that gamblers have for, you know, just action. And
dude, this tipped at noon.
If you don't believe me, just watch every like preseason tournament or every like, you know, like conference basketball tournament. All of a sudden you're betting on teams that you've never heard of. So like those TV numbers are better than they would be if they went up at other times. So I guess it makes sense. Yeah.
Stanford, they're trying to continue their bubble push tonight.
Could not care less about Stanford's bubble push. Please God, stop. Cam, this or that, save us. What topics do you have for us?
All right. I got, would you rather be on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
Okay, so be The Bachelor or be on The Bachelorette.
Yep. I got...
You're not asking for a sexual preference here, right? You're just asking if we'd rather be just one of many or just
pretty much.
The main guy. Gotcha.
Yeah. And then I got, you're in a championship game. You have to either call a defensive play to get a stop on fourth and goal. We'll say from like the 7. Or you have to call an offensive play from fourth and goal to get the win.
Okay.
Which situation would you rather be in? And then would you rather eat only one food item for the rest of eternity or only be able to drink one type of drink for the rest of eternity?
Okay. It's a good one. Let's play some this or that coming up after the break.
Your pet is an important part of your family.
Each win means that much more in the NFL playoffs, and that's why FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with 30-1 enhanced odds for the divisional playoffs. Bet $5 and win $150 on any team to win any divisional playoff game. We're in Tennessee. We love the Titans. Titans are winning this weekend. tighten up. That Bills line keeps going down and down and down.
That is crazy to me.
Bills might be coming to Nashville the next weekend, but I like the Titans. Man, I'm going to be devastated if they lose to the Bengals. Please don't lose to the damn Bengals. Create pressure. Stop Joe Burrow. Stop Ja'Marr Chase. Okay, I'm back. Titans win. King Henry. All hell, the king. There's no better place to bet the NFL playoffs than on America's number one sports book. It's simple and easy to use. They have generous promotions, boost every day, help you make a little extra money. It's safe and secure with best-in-class customer service. If you already have FanDuel Sportsbook, all customers can get an extra $50 when you refer a friend. Your friend, they get $50 too. Don't miss your chance to win $150 on a $5 bet when you use the promo code TALKSPORTS when signing up. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, use the promo code TALKSPORTS, and pick your divisional playoff team before kickoff. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, $10 first deposit required. Must wager and designated offer market. Max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilling site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Let's play some This or That. Cam, hit the music. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. This. That. This. That. This. That. This. That. This. That. This. 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 This.
All right, who's ready to play some This or That?
You won trivia this week, Charlie. Let's see if you can get a twofer.
If I can get a clean sweep this week.
A rare double whammy.
My dominance.
All right, let's play.
All right, first up we have, what show are you on, Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
Yeah, Cam, I'm on The Bachelorette, and to me it's not even close to a debate here. That's just the right way to do it. You know, first of all, if you're on The Bachelorette, so here's my plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to win The Bachelorette. I want to be on The Bachelorette and then become a popular character, make it to the final three or four, and position myself to be the next Bachelor. Then I get the best of both worlds. So that's why I would want to be on The Bachelorette. Then you get, you know, two whole seasons of free vacations, free food, free alcohol, surrounded by attractive people in fun situations with the national eye on you. If you're just a bachelor, you know, more often than not, people are going to end up disliking you. A lot of people will. You're going to have to make a lot of tough decisions with crazy, beautiful women. And, you know, you only get one season. So that's why the plan, you be on The Bachelorette, and then you parlay that into being on The Bachelor, and you double the fun. If I just start on The Bachelor, you know, that's my cap. I have to get married at the end, or, you know, it's just a failure of a season. But there's no room for growth there for my own brand, for my own reality TV brand. If I start on The Bachelorette, I can go anywhere. Hey, maybe I can parlay it into, you know, Love Island. Maybe I can parlay it into Too Hot to Handle, or even Are You the One?
I mean, or
it starts and ends with The Bachelor.
Okay. I mean, a couple things here. Could tell that to Jesse Palmer, that went from, you know, The Bachelor to, you know, hosting college football shows, and
yeah, I'm sure that's why they picked him, right?
What do you mean?
They picked him because he was on The Bachelor.
I mean, I was a part of it. Yeah, I mean, it was ABC and Disney. I mean, it was connected. It's the same company. You can also be on Bachelor in Paradise too. So you're kind of downplaying the career arc here. You can just go to another show as well. But if you're on The Bachelorette, you got to hang out with those guys, too.
I'll just alpha all of them.
You're going to alpha all of them?
Yeah.
You're going to be that guy? No one likes the alpha guy.
Oh, I'm not, no.
You're not going to get to be The Bachelor if you're trying.
Whoa.
Do I not get to speak here? You just made your statement. Let me speak. Let me talk. Don't try to alpha me, because you're talking to the real alpha here, okay?
You said, am I going to try to alpha them and be that guy? There's two different types of alphas. There's the fake, loud alpha, and that's not a real alpha. That's never been the real alpha. The real alpha moves in silence, but he just...
Does he? Huh. Yeah. Well, let me think. Does the real alpha ever have the words come out of his mouth of, well, I'm going to really alpha them? Because a real alpha doesn't have to have that mentality, because he just does it. So you've already lost the test by sitting here saying you're going to alpha them, because a real alpha doesn't talk like that. So, by a fact, it's ipso facto, you've already lost, and you're just the guy on the show that everyone hates that's like, get a load of this guy. Trying a little too hard? Can you put a shirt on? You going to do more push-ups?
Well, first of all,
why is Charlie asking everyone to wrestle? Like, this isn't what this is for here. Like, please stop trying to wrestle us. Like, it's not what we're here for.
Guys, let's get neck and wrestle with chains around our necks.
And then, guess what's going to happen? Guess what's going to happen, Cam? They're going to be like, Charlie is not here for the right reasons. He doesn't want to win The Bachelorette.
You don't think I know how to play the game, John?
He just wants to be here to
be. You don't think I don't know how to play the game?
I heard, Caitlin, that he is just here so he could be the next Bachelor. He's not even in love with you. He doesn't even like you. He just wants to be the next Bachelor.
Yeah, guess what, Caitlin? I'll still take you to the fantasy suite. I'll give you the night of your life, and then I'll move on, and I'll go be the Bachelor.
Yeah, yeah. Your strategy is poor, my friend. So let's just cut it. So Cam, let's think here, just from a logic standpoint. His goal here is to...
I would be so lovable on The Bachelor.
His goal here is to...
I'm like the less handsome guy that like has the sweet personality that's soft and cuddly like a teddy bear that everyone loves.
That screams alpha to me. Make up your mind. You're the alpha or you're the sweet guy that's going to get friend zone that America's rooting for. They're hoping he can do it.
I want America to root for me. That's how I end up as The Bachelor.
Right, but that's not the alpha that you just said. You're the sweet, lovable guy that
everyone
puts in
the friend
zone. You can
be an alpha and The Bachelor and lovable. No, the people that are like, push-ups, wrestling, I'm the man. Like, those aren't actually alphas. Those are insecure people.
That was my whole damn point. That's my whole point. That's what you said you were going to do.
No, I said I would be.
So now you went from that guy to the guy that's just the friend zone runner-up that finishes third or fourth, and everyone's like, yeah, just didn't quite feel that spark with you. Probably. She's probably going to tell you that after the fantasy suite. She's going to be like, I'm sorry, Charlie. I just didn't feel that spark. AKA, you didn't put it down. But let's just look from a logical standpoint here. His goal here, Cam, is to go on The Bachelorette, make people like him enough to make him the Bachelor when he could just be the Bachelor instead. Why would he not just want to be the Bachelor instead and not get rejected on national TV?
Why would you want to be the Bachelor? You only get one season, and then you're done.
So you're a loser.
Yeah, I want to start as a loser and then be redeemed as the Bachelor.
You just said yourself that everyone usually ends up hating the Bachelor, so you're going to ruin all that goodwill anyways.
Not the...
And then it's going to go... You know what's going to happen then? In your scenario, you're going to be like, oh, runner-up, fourth place, whatever, friend-zoned, not the spark, too soft and sensitive, too much of a teddy bear, not enough of a grizzly bear. And then what people are going to say is, why'd they pick Charlie to be the Bachelor? I just don't see it there. And then you're going to worry. Then you're going to have to deal with a bunch of girls there that are coming that are like, I'm a little disappointed. I'd
and guess
up for
what?
The Bachelor. I finally got on it, but, you know,
and,
I was
and
hoping
guess what?
Pick
I'm giving everyone roses. Everyone stays the whole season.
So your goal is to be the Bachelor, but you just are going to turn down the option just to already be the Bachelor. Doesn't make sense for me. It doesn't make sense. When you could just, actually just be the Bachelor.
Yeah, I got to go with John on that one. Strong closing argument there. Charlie, you start very strong. I thought Charlie was going to get you there for the majority of that.
Whew. Topic two.
I feel like I'm playing in RUP right now.
Yeah, you can't stop me from scoring. You're right. You look like John Fulgerson out there.
Brookings, South Dakota, trivia champion. That's the important one. I'm still going to win these next two.
All right.
I still don't know how you cut that.
I don't either. All right, forfeit goal from the 7. Which play caller would you rather be? Offensive guy or the defensive guy?
The key here for me, Cam, is that you said from the 7.
Mm-hmm.
If you just said from the 1 or the 2, where you could actually run the ball, I might have a little pause here because that would be in a bad situation. 4th and 7, no one in the world expects you to run the ball, right? So nothing there. Like, you're not going to get criticized of, can't believe you called that pass play. The only thing you could really do is have, like, a bad trick play, which no one runs, or, like, do one of those stupid things where you roll out. Otherwise, I must miss the end of play calls where you're like, huh, that was a weird play call. It's usually like, man, why'd the quarterback throw it there? Or, wow, the receiver dropped the ball or makes the catch touchdown. It's a low-pressure situation. On defense, on the other hand, you actually got some decisions. What are you going to do? You going to double the best team's receiver? You going to, blitz? You going to lay back in coverage? You send it to everybody? You're going to lay them set back in halftime? All of that actually comes into play. On offense, I'm like, hey, can I get one guy running this route that's going to drag this guy here? And, like, the route combinations are there. We run 4th and 7s all year long. We've been in the goal line all year long. So, less pressure. Less pressure being the offensive coach. I'd rather have that.
It's a pretty beta mentality to have, John.
Oh, we got Alpha Charlie here again.
Yeah. You're more worried about choosing the offense because you would be criticized less for failure, When I look at this, I want to be the defense because I want to win a football game. I'm not worried about my perception, about fans being upset with me or not upset with me. And the fact is, from the 7-yard line, the defense is the place to be. First of all, if I'm the coach, that means I'm already coaching a team with a defensive mentality. Defense wins championships. I'm worried about the defense. Secondly, if it's fourth and goal.
You could just be a coordinator as well. So, like, I don't know.
Either way, we're going to have some dogs. Secondly, if you have fourth and goal from the 7, that makes you, like you said, it makes you a one-dimensional offense. I would rather be calling plays against a one-dimensional offense than as a one-dimensional offense. If I'm a defense, the runs out, you know, if you run from 4th and goal from the 7 and beat me, I tip my cap to you. But that's not happening. They're not going to run the ball. You have to worry about the pass. And if I'm prepared for, you know, just them throwing the football, I know that I can call the play to get the stop. I would absolutely want to be there. You know how hard it is to have one shot from the 7-yard line? You don't even have the space over top of the defense to then call a play, a pass play when the defense knows you're going to throw the ball and have that be a successful touchdown. That's not happening. That's not happening, especially I don't have to worry about the offense taking the top off the defense. Everything's in front of me. I'm going to bring 4. I'm going to cover everybody else. Yeah. I'm going to count on those dogs up front to get home.
You're only bringing 4?
Yeah, I'm bringing 4. And I'm going
to give the quarterback time to throw. It's hard to cover guys in the back of the end zone for a while if he scrambles out
a
little
bit. I have a team like the Tennessee Titans that have the second-best pressure with 4 men rushing, then yeah.
Okay, what if you have a team that doesn't have that? What if you have a team that's
not very
good?
Well, I already
told
you I'm not going to have a team that's not like that because I'm
an average. We're just talking about an average team.
All right, well, your average team, I still want to.
You don't have just a wrecking crew front 4 that you're on.
Even if I'm an average team, it doesn't matter what I'm going to call. The fact of the matter is that I'm still calling against a one-dimensional offense. I would absolutely. I would rather be playing defense against a one-dimensional offense than being the one-dimensional offense trying to score against a defense that knows what I'm doing.
Big Alpha Charlie wants the easy way out, ironically enough, after saying I didn't want the blame. You want the easy way out.
I'm just worried about you. From the 7-yard line, fans aren't going to get that mad at me if I fail.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about failing. I'm succeeding. Yeah. Period.
Okay.
Period.
Yeah. Tell me all the great goal line stands from the 7-yard line that the defense has got to stop on. Tell me.
Tell me the ones that they scored on.
Santonio Holmes, touchdown, Super Bowl, Big Ben, game time situation. I know
and guess what? That's remembered as one of the greatest plays of all time because of how rare it was.
It was remembered as one of the greatest plays of all time.
Yeah, because of how rare of an occasion that is. I can't tell you
because of a defense getting a stop from the seven.
Because it's just regular. That is expected. It's regular.
Scoring.
People don't sit around and talk, oh, remember that one time they stopped him for 4th goal on the 7? Oh, you mean that time or that time or that? It's expected.
That's my point. I want to go out and be a legend.
No,
I want to go out and score a touchdown.
No, you just want to have the excuse to fall back on. You just want to
look at that.
You said it yourself.
It's called setting a trap.
You want the excuse to fall back on.
I set a trap for you. You started to talk about being an alpha, then you just immediately went into like, well, it's easy to do this. I set a trap for it, and you fell in for it. Name the good goal line stands for the 7-yard lines. You don't see them. It's either the team scores or they don't. And if they don't, you talk about what the offense did wrong. You don't talk about the defense.
Hey, guess what? I don't care about the notoriety. I care about the winning. You care about your perception.
Yeah, I want to be a
hero. I see what kind of man you are.
I want to be a hero.
You're worried about perception rather than winning.
I
would rather be faceless, nameless, anonymous, and a winner than a loser that the fans are okay with.
I want to call a timeout. I want to get my huddle set. And I want to tell them. This is it, boys. This is what we've been working for all season.
And then I'm going to tell my defense, hey, this is also it, boys. This is what we've been working for all season.
They never show the
defense there. And they're not going
to
run the ball.
I ask you to show me any of the great goal
lines. That's an absurd thing to ask for.
They barely even show Malcolm Butler intercepting Russell Wilson. They usually show Tom Brady celebrating.
Hey, guess what?
It's all about offense.
Hey, guess what? Hey, guess what? They still got the stop and won the game, and I'm worried about winning. I don't care about being a legend. I don't care about fans' perception. I care about winning. And you have the best chance to win as the defense trying to stop the offense from the 7, then vice versa. And that's all that matters. You can talk fan perception, this, that, and the other, but all that matters is that if I'm the defense, I'm getting the
stop. You're just the coach.
Yeah.
The failure is going to get put on you if you're the defense. That's going to happen. And if you win,
it's not
going to
fail.
It's going to be the defense did it. You're not getting anything. You're not getting any of the credit.
I'm getting a win. I don't care
about
credit. I care about winning.
You might not win. What if you lose? What are you left with if you lose?
That's not an option. I'm winning.
It's not an option. Of course it's an option.
Okay, but you have a better chance to win as the defense here than the offense, and I care about winning. That's the priority.
But there's no reward for you individually.
Yes.
We're looking at you as a coach.
Yes, there is. The reward is winning.
You're not a player.
You are a part of the team. Coaches get credited for wins just as much as the players do.
I'm winning in my scenario, too, so we're just going to sit here and talk about winning because I'd rather be the offense winning.
No, we're talking about who has a better chance of winning.
No, and we're not. We're just saying who would you rather be. I'd rather be in my scenario winning, too. We're talking about crazy things here.
Who would you rather be?
Yes.
Who would you rather be? Yeah, that's the question. But who would you rather be is based on who would you rather be that gives you the best chance to win because you want to be the winner.
So your whole argument should just be, well, there's an 80% chance of getting a stop on 4th and 7. Why'd you waste my time?
Cam, don't let him fool you like this right now. Come on. He talks real loud. You know, he makes his points.
I talk loud. I barely got to talk.
He makes his points, whatever.
I barely got to talk.
I have the right answer here.
Make your decision.
Well, I got to go with John on this one.
Oh, wow.
I'm opting out next week. Get a guest debater. This is ridiculous. What, this is blasphemy.
What food were you going to pick?
What food?
Yeah.
Pizza.
You mean pizza is the only meal the rest of your life?
It's so versatile.
Is it? It's pizza.
Yeah, but you can like have any kind of pizza. Like you can, one day I can eat a Cuban pizza, the next day a veggie pizza, the next day a teriyaki chicken pizza, the next day classic sausage and pepperoni.
Why wouldn't your food just be chicken?
I don't know, like,
or I don't know. Okay, pasta. Why wouldn't your answer just be pasta? I can eat strip pasta. I could eat chicken.
Pizza's
pasta.
The best food. Pizza is the best tasting and most versatile food. You can just put anything on pizza. That's like the loophole. You can just eat whatever you want.
At
it's just
point,
on
it just
pizza.
A sandwich. I think you're getting. I don't think.
Well, no. As long as there's not like a second layer on top, you're fine. Then it's just still pizza. Like I can
so
grill up a filet
when
mignon.
You eat like a something like toast with like eggs on it. You think of that as an egg pizza.
Well, at the end
there's
of the
no
day,
top of it, like you not see people like the
well, foods,
whenever you have like avocado.
I mean, if you want to be a jerk right now
and
be a smart ass on me and get all technical.
You say as long as there's no second.
I mean,
top.
If you want to get technical on me, foods are really only three things.
Oh, are you gonna do this?
Just go to break. I don't want to hear what these three things are: liquids and gases.
Soup, salad, sandwich.
Soup, salad, sandwich. He's right.
That's stupid. Last call on the other side. Last call today is brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, they want to help you get the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's G3HelpMe.com. Once again, G3HelpMe.com. A little Titans news before we get to last call. Mike Vrabel says no Titans have been ruled out for Saturday's game.
Whoa.
Jackrabbit Jenkins was back at practice today, and they said that they will make an official announcement tomorrow regarding Derrick Henry's status. All signs point to go and the return of King Henry. Let's play some Bump the Brakes. Let's keep it moving, Cam. What do you got?
All right. I got Tongan Man.
Who?
Tongan, like from Tonga.
Yep.
Don't know where Tonga is. Well, it's in like the Pacific. Well, basically, I don't know if you guys heard, but there was a volcanic eruption in the Pacific this past weekend. Well, that eruption caused tsunamis, as eruptions normally do. Eruptions, earthquakes, things like that. A 57-year-old disabled man survived being swept out to sea and surviving 27 hours. 27 hours out at sea. And, like, this guy has trouble walking and everything like that. But he still managed to find the strength to swim, I think it said about like 4.7 miles or something like that. Back to land after, yeah, a tsunami basically like swept him away from his, from where he was when the tsunami hit. And it's a really wild story because he kind of talks about how he could hear his son calling for him, just like looking for him.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, I decided not to say anything because I knew my son would try to jump in to help save me. And I didn't want him to put his life at risk too. So he kind of just, like, accepted that he was swept out to sea. But he did manage He did manage to get back to land, but, like, yes, 27 hours after he was first swept out to sea, he managed to somehow get back to land, and people are just, like, yeah, just calling it, like, a miracle survival story. But he was able to get back there, and, yeah, like, yeah, just had 4.7 miles to swim back to the main island.
And that's 4.7 miles swimming in, like, the ocean, right?
Yeah, yeah. So,
I mean, that's, like, feels like it's like 15 miles with like the current kind of dragging you and pushing you. I don't know. I hate swimming in the ocean.
I love it. It's my favorite thing.
I hate getting out like 200 feet and just like, I'm never getting back in. This is where I die.
When I go to the beach, I swim out until the water changes colors and I can't stand and just swim back and forth. That's what I like to do.
Okay. Weirdo. You mean back and forth, like back in and out or just
no,
like down,
side to side?
Yeah.
See Charlie hitting laps out there.
Yeah, pretty much. This does kind of just set up
a
perfect.
They see his hair and they're like, shark! That long hair you got.
Kind of sets up like a perfect sequel to the movie 27 Hours. If this also took 27 hours.
Yeah. 27 Hours, part 2.
What was
two.
The movie 27 Hours?
The dude that got stuck in between the two rocks in the
that
desert.
Was,
and he had to like cut off his arm.
I believe that was 127 hours.
Was it?
Yeah. I don't think he'd cut his arm off after one day.
You're just like, you know what I'm calling it.
I don't think he'd cut his arm off after one day there, Charlie.
You know, now that you mentioned
now it, we know where Charlie's head would be at if he was trapped under a rock.
I don't know if you saw the...
that makes a lot more sense.
The Twitter hypothetical about like $30 billion for a year like in solitary confinement with like nothing.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know Charlie's not making it. After 27 hours, if he's ready to give up his arm, like...
I'm not ready to give up my arm that quickly. I thought it was 27 hours. You know, hey, it still ends in 27. The sequel's still there. You
yeah,
just got to
like,
do a little rebranding.
I mean, 127 hours comes out to like what? Like 5 days?
I don't know. That's too much math.
Over 4 days, right? I mean, 72 is 3 days.
4 in a day.
96, yeah. 4. So, I mean, basically 6 days.
Yeah.
Or 5.5 days. About being in the sun, not
that's,
water.
Yeah,
that's
the crazy part is sitting out there in the.
All right. Charlie, appreciate you helping us out on the show. Cam, good job by you. Russell Smith, the Bear, Jake up next on the drive. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.